This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. Zach Brittle here with Laura Heck. Today we're talking about life themes. Laura's kind of jazzed about it, but basically it's the concept of what are the themes and the sort of lingering issues that we carry around with us all the time, no matter what. Sometimes life themes are revealed through personality things like the Myers-Briggs or maybe a BuzzFeed quiz about which Game of Thrones character you are. But regardless, there's usually something underneath the energy that we bring to, especially to conflict, but also just to normal everyday interactions with our partner. So as always, it's a very cool conversation. Stick around.
I met your kid for the first time the other day. That was fun.
Yeah.
I have a secret way of talking to children, which is you act like an idiot and then they think they're smarter than you and then they feel superior.
And then they feel bad for you and they're like, oh, mommy's friend Zach is a sad, sad man.
I know. I'm like, hey, so what's it like being in the sixth grade? He's like, I'm not in the sixth grade. I was like, your mom said you were in the sixth grade. Why would your mom lie to
dummy?
Me?
Dummy.
Why does your mom tell everybody you're in the sixth grade? She's like,
I have to ask you, was it weird seeing each other face to face for like, I don't even know how long it's been since we've been side by side. Was it odd?
No, not for me. I mean, it was, gosh, it's been maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
Because it was a while even before COVID.
Uh-huh.
So it might be 2 years, but it was almost like I wasn't even with you. It was weird. It was just like,
we're
kind of doing this thing and then bye.
What we were doing is
there was no ceremony. There was no like sentiment. It was just like,
hey, what's up? All right. Well, see you later. We got headshots taken, which we had hired our photographer before COVID. So about, I don't know, a year and a half ago. Yeah. And so we finally got to take them because we're both vaccinated and our photographer's comfortable with it. And so we had our headshots taken. And if you want to see them, I'm guessing we'll probably have them up on the website by the time this episode comes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. So you can see like the latest version of Zach and Laura, but yeah, it was weird. I mean, I thought it was kind of odd to be right next to you and be like in person.
My aura is pretty powerful. I do have a pretty powerful aura. Yeah.
Oh gosh. Hey, so,
you know what I did find? I found it awkward. Like it wasn't.
Well, the awkward part was having to look at each other and like fake these like, hey, have
pretend
a natural
like, we like each other. Yeah.
Right. Have a natural interaction where you enjoy one another's company. It's like
she was like, look at each other, make eye contact and smile. I was like, no.
No, thank you. Yeah. When's the part where we get to like pinch each other? So that was kind of nice. I think it's good to have the headshots done. I don't think I told you. Did I tell you about this book that I had heard about that my mom's partner is reading?
No,
probably not. I'll have to figure out what the name of it. It's coming in the mail, but
that's exciting stuff. Good story.
Stop it. I'm going. Oh, hold on. Before I do this, here's two things. I started reading the reviews, right? Or iTunes reviews.
Again.
And here's the overall. Well, I just want to see like how many do we have and what are people saying and just wanted some feedback. And the overarching theme is Laura has ADD and she gets distracted very easily and never finishes her thoughts. And number two, Zach talks over Laura and we don't like him as much as we like Laura. That was like the overarching like kind of theme. Yeah. So if those are your sentiments, just know you're not alone, listeners.
Yeah. And you're not wrong.
And you're not wrong. And we're probably not going to do anything about correcting that because that is let me get back to this book because it does pertain to
Wait, did you tell me two things? Is that the two things?
Yeah, I did. I told you two.
Well, you told me you read the reviews. That wasn't thing one. You wanted to tell me the two things that you read on the reviews.
That was it. Yeah. Just the two things I read on the reviews was that I have
so
like
one
I
thing
get distracted.
With two sub things.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So this,
all right, a book is coming in the mail.
It's coming in the mail. I'm going to read it. It's a little woo-woo. And if I like it, I'll recommend it. But the theme that I enjoy about this book that has got me sort of talking to my clients, I've been doing the thing that you do, which is like you hold on to something and then you kind of like run it by all your clients. Because it's, I mean, I think everybody needs it. But so my mom's partner, I'm sure she probably wouldn't mind if I shared this story. If she does, sorry, Sparks, but she said, hey, I'm reading this book and what I have learned and what this book is teaching me is that we have life themes. And I was like, ooh, tell me more about life themes. And I'm going to do my best to represent what a life theme might be, but it's sort of like what I refer to as like an enduring vulnerability. And it's basically like this thing that continues to follow suit throughout your life. And it might be a life theme that you have. So it could be a life theme that is ingrained in childhood. And then you find out that this life theme shows up in significant relationships from there on out. It's not necessarily with your parents, although, you know, when you go back for Thanksgiving, you might go, oh, there's that theme showing up again. Thanks, mom and dad.
Yeah.
But it kind of shows up. And so and I'll share this is that she said, well, my life theme is this idea of not feeling like I have a voice. It started off in childhood. It continued on in relationships. And what I love was the flip of it, which is those life themes oftentimes are like the things that we see as these big reactions, right? Like, you know, like you and I are interacting and maybe you're late to a meeting. God knows that would never happen, right?
I'm good lately. I got to the headshots
early.
Before you.
You were early and I appreciated that. And hopefully I like affirmed you for that because I really appreciated
it. That's okay.
Okay. Well, I am now. Okay. But like, let's just say that I have a, you know, like this thing happens between us where you're late to our meetings together. And then there's this like life theme for me of maybe not feeling valued or important. And so that sort of scratches at the surface of my life theme of not really feeling important to other people or valued, like your time is more valuable than mine. And so in these moments, I might have a bigger reaction that you're like, I don't understand why this is such a big deal. I was only 5 minutes late. And I'm like, I don't understand why it's such a big deal either, but I'll tell you it's a big deal and it really pisses me off. And so I kind of think, you know, in order to discover our life themes for ourselves, it's taking a look at when are our reactions really powerful or seem out of place to be able to try to like uncover what your life theme or themes might be.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
No. And I think the smaller version of that is like, what do you respond to when you're watching movies? Because most movies and television are the same. They're kind of all this. I mean, there's kind of this myth that there's only like seven plots in Hollywood.
Okay.
But like I, for example, cannot abide. I have a really hard time with the part in every movie where this could have been avoided if we just skipped the part where we assume the misunderstanding is present. You know, like the guy overhears the girl talking to her brother and she's like, I love you so much, brother. And then he's like, oh, she loves that other guy. Because her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend from elementary school is also named Tim, same as her brother.
Okay.
And then the movie takes like a 15-minute detour around the whole, I can't do that. I don't know what it is exactly, but for me, I think it probably speaks to like the power of being explicit and clearing up misunderstandings and how you like, just like clear communication helps. I don't know. That's probably a simple one, but I've learned that. And now when that part comes to the movie, I just go get popcorn.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I'm going to come back around, but this is like in true Laura theme is like derailing from my original thought to go down this tangent. But I have noticed that my son, anytime there's something mushy gushy, like lovey dovey on one of the shows that he's watching, he squirms and he fast forward. And then he also gets kind of embarrassed. Like if I see him watching, you know, like a moment between people on a show he's watching, he gets really like uncomfortable. I don't know what that is. Maybe he's just like coming of age a little bit and understanding romantic relationships, but
yeah,
it's kind of a weird one.
So I don't know, that seems like a typical like 5-year-old boy thing to do, but I
think so.
Yeah, probably. I get it. I mean, I think again, we're still just paying attention. Like, when do you cry, or when do you laugh? Like, when do you squirm? You know, there's data in that for us in terms of the themes that are present that we're observing, and then they're also inside of us for sure.
And I think also too, to think about this is like I went home. I was in Washington over Memorial Day weekend, and I spent time with both of my parents. And I think that's a really good opportunity to pay attention to your life themes. Like, if you ever want to feel like, like smacked upside the face with your life theme, go home for Thanksgiving. That's when those life themes show up. And it's like, what holds your energy at the end of the day? If you've been home for Thanksgiving and you're laying there in bed with your partner and your partner says, so how do you feel the day's going? And your mind immediately goes to venting about this or that, or whatever it might be. That might be a life theme for you, you know? Whatever it might be. So you and I actually kind of butted up. I'm not going to be explicit about your personal work, but you shared with me actually that I was a contributor to a life theme for you.
Yeah.
If you, you know what I'm talking about.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I think that's important because it's like, I feel like
Laura, thanks for bringing that up again.
That I'm a significant person in your life. And so what you did is you're like, actually, this is, you kind of contributed to me, you know, doing some work on myself. You're welcome.
It's a benign way to put it. Yeah. No, I think nothing will make you feel like your sort of wounded child, your 15-year-old self, or your adapted child, as maybe Terry Real would say, that like hanging out with your parents.
Right.
I'm going home. Did I tell you that? I'm going home next weekend.
Virginia?
So I'll be with my parents. And that'll be, I'll have to do the work, you know? Yeah.
To a place where I belong, West Virginia.
You know, Zach and I are huge fans of getting support, especially during abnormally stressful times like these. This is why we have partnered with BetterHelp to put you in contact with licensed professional counselors in your area. Tap into the world's largest network of licensed, accredited, and experienced counselors who can help you with a range of issues, including depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, and more. With BetterHelp's counselors, you get the same professionalism and quality that you would expect from an in-office counselor, but with the ability to communicate when and how you want. The matching process is quick but thorough, and you have the ability to communicate with your therapist how you like it, whether it be messaging, over the phone, or video conferencing. I know that in-person therapy sessions aren't feasible right now, and a lot of therapists are booked out, but don't let that stop you from getting the support that you need. The cost is less than half of what Zach and I charge, which is kind of unheard of. And when you register with BetterHelp, you're supporting Marriage Therapy Radio. Go to trybetterhelp.com/MTR to register. Try better, BETTER, help, HELP.com/MTR to register with BetterHelp.
Okay, so here's the thing that I like about this and why this relates to marriage and family therapy, right? Okay. It's taking me a while to pull this along, is the flip, which is we have these life stories and the idea is to become aware of them, but then not only become aware of them, but share them with your partner. Hey, I've noticed this thing comes up. This is something that I react to, and I'm aware that this is something that I react to. And when you share it with your partner, the flip of it, the thing that I really like about this book is it says you have the ability to work out your life theme with your partner. It's hard sometimes to work out your life theme with your family of origin, your childhood. But as time goes on, once you become aware of your life theme, your partner's going to kind of scratch at the surfaces and make you uncomfortable at times. And that can either drag you down in a partnership of feeling like I don't have a voice, I feel undervalued, I feel abandoned, I feel whatever your life theme might be. your partner is going to be the one that is going to scratch at that. And the way to flip it and make it more of a positive is to recognize that this is my opportunity to work this out with my partner so that it doesn't continue and be more transgenerational passed on to my kids, or doesn't continue to rule me. I'm going to find a quote that I really, really like because I've been thinking about it a lot the last week.
I had this conversation with clients yesterday in this way, which is, you know, theme, of course, life theme. Theme is a literary word. It's a word that has to do with kind of what's at the heart of stories, right? And we are, whether we're doing it on purpose or not, we're telling ourselves stories about ourselves and about our partners and about our relationships. That's happening constantly. And the more data that we have to tell an accurate story, you know, the better. This is why I get so upset about that part in the movie, because they're just missing like plain old normal parts of the story that need to be like known and understood. And, you know, in this case, I was working with a couple that's deciding they're at the front end of the relationship. I wouldn't call them pre-married specifically, but they're working on kind of building the foundation, and they want to know, like, why is Love Maps important? Like, why does it matter what my favorite album is, you know? And I'm like, it doesn't. But what's cool about that question, hey, what's your favorite album? And let's say I pick, you know, Document by REM, which is a top of mind for me right now.
Okay.
Probably because I'm going home. And it's like, that REM was the sound of my high school years. But but that's it, actually. Why REM? Oh, because I used to listen to this all the time in high school, and I'm going home for a memorial service, and the guy whose memorial it is, we listened to REM in his car. And like, so I was in blah, blah, blah. And I have all kinds of stories that I've been getting to tell my kids and my wife this week as I get ready to go home. Mm-hmm. And that's the value, right? Because it's not that it changes necessarily their story about my whole persona or my theme, but they get to know a little bit more about, oh gosh, you really do care. And this is why people are important to you. And this guy whose memorial it is just happened to be kind of a father figure for me. And, incidentally, the thing that you pushed, the trigger that you pushed, had to do with my own dad, and then blah 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 blah. Thanks a lot. but I think that's what we're talking about, right? Is the themes, or exposing the themes, to help us tell truer stories, and that's the value, I think, in this book, perhaps, that you're getting, is to kind of figure out how to tell truer stories about our partners and ourselves, because you tell false stories, you end up getting into a lot of trouble.
Okay. I'm going to go back in this idea of sharing this information, because I mean, just sort of looking at our relationship, when you shared your life theme or a life theme with me, it opened up a level of understanding and grace and empathy that I could not have otherwise tapped into.
I'm not acting this way because I'm a big jerk.
I'm acting this way.
Because I have a big button that got pushed by
exactly
an interaction that we had. Yeah,
exactly. And a lot of it is, it's at that point, it's Laura, it's not you, it's me. And to me, it's like, okay, that I can do. And I don't know.
I mean, it was also you. I mean,
no. It's not you. It's me. And it was me. But having you be vulnerable enough to, you know, share that information with me allows me to, you know, try and protect that because I care about you. And so I'm going to try and protect not pushing or scratching at the edges, or, you know, maybe at times, like, let's talk about it. Like, what's going on? How can we move through this so that it doesn't continue to sort of rule you? So here's what I found. I found the quote by Carl Jung. I've been trying to find it and think about it all week. And the quote is, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. And what I'm asking for our listeners to do is to think about their life themes and make the unconscious conscious. And not only make the unconscious conscious, but share it with your partner. Be vulnerable enough to say, hey, you know, when I react really strongly to that thing, or remember last month when we had that big blow up, I recognized that there was something that was kind of being triggered. We talk about triggers, but I like to call it the life theme because I think that it's a gentler way to think about it. It's a little more honoring of the fact that, like, significant people in your life, like Zach and Laura, like Laura and Ryan, have the opportunity to help you work through your life themes by making them conscious and allowing yourself to work through it with the people that you love most in your life. So That's my idea. That's what I've been kind of rolling around on for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, I'm into it. And then, of course, you know, I hear you say that. And I'm like, yes, do that.
And?
How on earth am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to make my unconscious theme conscious, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes that, I mean, what is it? Is it therapy? Is it meditation? Is it, you know, okay. Smoking a peace pipe or something? Like, how do I
psychedelics, just microdosing mostly.
How do I get, yeah.
I think the first place to start would be ownership, because so many couples that come into our office point their fingers at their partner and say, the last big fight that we had was because my partner did this. And that's not true. The last big fight that you had is because of how you stood up or how you reacted or the thoughts you had surrounding the situation. And so if you take some personal responsibility and say, ooh, there was something there that that didn't sit well with me. That didn't resonate. Getting curious about that and figuring out why was that so impactful? Why did that interaction rub me the wrong way?
Right on. Totally. I endorse that. I've been doing a little bit of research around this book proposal that I'm working on. And part of what the book includes is relationships that didn't make it. And almost every single one includes a partner or two who could not or would not accept their own responsibility for the marriage's struggle. And there's lots of reasons, right? There's addiction and there's trauma and there's, you know, just stubbornness or whatever, but it is a common theme. And, you know, I've been having this, this other couple that they're maybe probably on the other end of the spectrum of this couple I mentioned earlier, but they are having a really hard time gaining any traction in the relationship because they are stuck in this, yeah, but you side of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost like, you guys, you need to like talk about if the relationship changes for good only because of something that you did.
Mm-hmm. What's it going
to
be?
You individually did. Like, forget relying on your partner to change this relationship for good. If it's only you, what is it?
Yeah.
And then that maybe is the beginning of ownership or acknowledgement that I have a part here too.
Yeah. Something that I have been starting and ending sessions with is, number one, every time I have a session, I want to know what's right and what are you going to celebrate for yourself of how you showed up as your best self in the last 2 weeks. So I start sessions off with that to get them in the positive perspective of like, what did you do? And oftentimes it's the smallest thing. You know, I chose not to be defensive when my partner had a tone with me. Awesome. Freaking celebrate that. Pat yourself on the back and keep doing that. That was awesome. And then I end sessions by asking couples, what is your intention for the next 2 weeks? We just talked about a whole bunch of things in the last 50 minutes. You have more awareness now. Now, how are you going to show up in the next 2 weeks and put some of this into practice? And again, it's all about personal responsibility in the relationship, taking that thing that you have control over and just saying, this is what I'm going to do because it's going to impact somehow.
Yeah, cool. And so maybe on that note, I want to end this session with this, which is we have in the last week gotten two emails from listeners simply to say how much they appreciate listening to us, like how much they value what we have to bring to the table and how much we have to offer. And so I'll say two things about that. One is thank you for letting us know, because that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And two is like, it's so easy to talk about what you don't like. It's so easy to go on an iTunes and just be like, I don't like this part and I don't like that part. I don't like the ADD and I don't like the talking over. Like, that's really easy.
Yeah.
It's harder but I think better work to go out of your way to let people know that you appreciate them and that they add value to your life. And then that, I think, so I want to thank you for doing that and also applaud you for doing that. And I hope it feels good to you to let other people know how they change your life for good. Like, it's not just for them, but I hope it feels good to you. Like, I think that's just what makes us human. And so, again, thanks and congratulations for letting us know that we're doing something good in your life.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of, by the way, is when you made it a habit of yours to write something like 30 postcards or something to your friends. You remember when you did that?
Yeah, it was 2011 and I wrote 211 postcards to 211 different people on 211 different days during the year.
Zach is an interesting guy, and that's a, one example of one of the strange things that he did. But I think I might have been the recipient of one of those, and so I appreciate that.
2011? I don't know if you would have been 2011.
No, but you did it again, because I did get a handwritten something from you.
Oh, I'm nice.
Yeah, yeah, you are, at times. Okay. It can, yeah. Hey, let's land this plane before I give you any more compliments.
All right. see you later.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. And if you are just, you know, maybe kind of curious, what might be unconscious that I need to bring to consciousness so that it doesn't, I don't call it fate. It might be a good idea to seek out a little bit of therapy. It's always nice to have somebody in your life to be able to point out some blind spots. And I think therapy is incredible for the individual, for couples, for families. It's just a better version of you that can show up. We have partnered with BetterHelp for all of our international and national listeners. So if you go to trybetterhelp.com/MTR, you get the discount. And that is virtual therapy by therapists that are in your community, serving you through video conferencing, text messages, phone calls, meeting you where you are at. Again, it's trybetterhelp, B-E-T-T-E-R. HELP.com/MTR gives you the discount. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.